All right. So now we got some recording going on. So, like I said, head to my website, for those of you that just walked in. And if you put your email in there, later this afternoon or tomorrow morning, I will send you an email with all the links and everything that we cover during our time together. I'm going to go ahead and get started. I planned on taking about an hour and having about 30 minutes for Q&A. So, we'll just run through it really fast and we'll see where we get. I'm fine if you interrupt me with your questions, so please just jump on in. That's not going to bother me, and it's most important to me that I answer your questions. But before we get into our topic today, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm Christopher Harris. I live in Dallas, Texas. For nearly 10 years, I served in parish ministry as a youth minister, mainly in ELCA congregations, even in one PCUSA congregation. And then I headed off to seminary, and when I came out of seminary, that was about the time that Facebook was just exploding. And so I came out of seminary and said, hey, how can we harness a lot of this social media and other technology to really be about sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus, helping build community, helping communicate better with our people? And so since seminary, I've been working with Faith Growth to help congregations do that. And like I said, I'm a member of an ELCA congregation. If you're not familiar with that, that's the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are a full communion partner with the CUSA Church. And I went to a seminary in Austin and was right across the street from Seminary of the Southwest, if you're familiar with that, Episcopal Seminary. So Faith Growth, we want to help make digital easy for congregations and for ministers. Basically, these tools are powerful, and we don't want the tool and the technology to stand in your way to really do this. And so actually, this workshop is a good example of that. And we accomplish that mainly through communications consulting with congregations and helping develop custom websites. And usually our website process is a little bit more intense than, hey, we're going to give you a new website. We really want to look at your whole communication structure and process, and then we'll design the website to go around that and support your whole communication cycle and flow, and how do you become and make digital first, and then your website supports all the other hubs. And one of those hubs will be live streaming that we're going to look at specifically today. Let me introduce real fast before we get further. This is Sherry Bell. Sherry Bell works at Faith Growth as well. She is our content manager. Also, she just makes my life much easier and keeps me from getting into trouble. But, so enough about me, enough about Faith Growth. Just know that I'm excited to be here. Let's get into our topic this morning. We have four basics. To live streaming. It's all about, we have to capture whatever that video is. Then it is encoded, which means we're going to turn it into zeros and ones, and we send that out to a service that makes that available to your potential viewers. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how do you run one of those feeds. And if any of y'all know Chris Hansby, is it Hansby? Hansby, thank you. He's running the webinar for this event. And so he's kind of doing some of the roles that we'll talk about when we get to hospitality. But so some of this is actually happening right here, but in a little bit of a different format, because they're using some stuff that we're not going to go into today that allows for interaction. They're doing it more like a learning seminar as opposed to just that. And the first thing that I want to say is this is kind of, it's called Down and Dirty, because we're just going to kind of, here's how you can get started. And when you can get into this, so we're going to talk about how to kind of do it on the inexpensive ways and how to like literally get started this Sunday if you wanted to. Know that there are some really expensive ways you can do this. And if you have an opportunity to go to the new chapel here that was just built, I was here in March and I got to go see their control room that they're running everything on there. And there's probably $50,000 worth of equipment in there. We're going to talk more like a couple hundred dollar budget today, and we're not going to get into those complexities, but know that this will be a ministry, hopefully, that you can grow and keep evolving into. The other thing we're not going to talk about in this tile is if you're curious about some of the new live streaming apps like Periscope and Meerkat, we're really not going to get into that specifically, mainly because they're all about sharing right now onto social media, and I'm going to say how can we really not only share this live on Sunday morning for your worship, but also have an archive of it. We can talk during Q&A about some of the ideas I have for using those apps, but for this, we're going to talk mainly about an event that you would want to stream, have an archive for the longer term, and those at this moment don't lend themselves for that. They'll keep growing as services and might be a good option in the future. So we're going to kind of take live streaming. These are going to be our four big things that we're going to look at. And so let's start with capturing. You need a good old-fashioned video camera, and I brought one. Somebody in your congregation probably has one of these things. There's a key that your video camera needs. It either needs HDMI out, or it needs FireWire. I'll tell you, FireWire is a little bit easier to deal with. Well, it's six one way, half a dozen another. This camera actually has both. and then we need some audio cables, which I have a couple here with me today. And this will depend a little bit specifically on what your soundboard currently is set up to use, because what we will do to get audio is we'll take this audio cable, plug it into your soundboard. So the sound system you're already using that's putting the program over whatever those speakers are in your worship space, we'll grab the feed coming out of that soundboard and we'll put it in. I'm going to talk you through all this. Right now this is just kind of that. And there's one other piece if you are using an HDMI.
Well, let me first talk about setup. I'm skipping ahead. I forget about my slides.
So basically this is what, to capture, this is what we have here. I forgot to say you need a computer. That was kind of assumed. I did have it as a bullet point, but I didn't say it out loud. So forgive me, this is a little bit hard to see, but hey, this is a computer. This is our camera over here, and it's coming into the computer by FireWire, and then that cable I talked about coming off of your soundboard into the microphone input jack of your computer. So we're bringing video in through the FireWire or HDMI, and then we bring audio in through the mic jack of the computer. Now I will say if you have a newer MacBook like I do, they got rid of the mic jack. $3 on Amazon. It is a USB little adapter, and it gives you a mic jack and audio and headphone jack, but we only need the mic jack, and then you can bring the microphone in. Now, if your camera has HDMI out, which most of the cameras do these days, because FireWire was a little bit old, it's going to be an older camera if it has FireWire, which is perfectly fine. Newer cameras can have HDMI. We have to add one more piece to the equation, and it is called a capture device. And so we'll go camera to capture device into our computer through USB. And remember, you sent me your email address. I'm going to send all this to you with these cool diagrams. And maybe if I have, yes?
What's the hashtag if they want to tweet
about it? Well, it's eForm15, and I was going to say, and if you want to say eForm15, you can put another hashtag live. And we'll collect the tweets just from this room. So hashtag E415, hashtag live. And then we'll collect those tweets about this thing. Thank you, Sherry. So what this does is this converts, because the FireWire would go straight into the computer. HDMI cannot go straight into the computer with most computers. Technically, HDMI cables could handle that, but our computers can't. So we have to have something in between that converts it and gets it ready to go in through USB. I have a suggested capture device, and I will tell you it's $189, but it's by a company called Blackmagic. They make really good devices for doing live streaming, and if you go to their website, you'll go, woohoo, they have a $4,000 camera, they have all kinds of fun stuff. But all we need is our basic camera and the HDMI. And like I said in the presentation, I know this isn't much helpful to y'all now, but that's a link to that product on Amazon. But when I send it to you, you'll be able to that, or you can write it down real fast. So this is a quick review before I move on. Equipment-wise, we need a computer. We need a camera. We need some cables to hook into the soundboard. And if we're using HDMI, we need a capture device.
If you're using FireWire, you don't need a capture device.
No, you do not.
Okay.
You can still use a capture. Well, I'm not going to go there. That's confusing. This is the down and dirty to get you started Sunday. So I'm not going to give you lots of... Well, that's the other fun thing. So, any other questions at this point in time? And we'll move on to encoding.
Have you ever done the setup using wireless mics?
Yes.
With the transmitter on the mic and the receiver plugged into your soundboard?
Yes. Because you still just would get it through the... Because at the end of the day, because your soundboard is going to have something like aux out or program out, and if we're just pulling that, whatever is coming into the soundboard is going to come in here 100%. And then, of course, you have that program in the sanctuary or, you know, fellowship hall or wherever you might be doing that. What I forgot to say was, like I said, we work with lots of congregations. Everything I'm telling you today, because, hey, this is hands-on experience, I forgot my whole little about us. Where I learned this was working with two organizations in the Dallas area, one King of Glory Lutheran Church, and I worked with them over a period of 6 months, getting them all set up on live streaming. And then I work with the Lutheran Bishop in Dallas a lot when he does training and stuff. In the LCA, we have these geographically huge synods, equivalent of a diocese, and ours goes all the way to New Mexico, to Louisiana, to northern Louisiana, northern Texas. So New Mexico all the way to northern Louisiana, which is actually only 135 parishes. But when he does trainings or talks or whatnot, we send it out to all the congregations. And I work with them. And usually, well, basically that means I'm the volunteer that runs the live stream. So that's where this all this knowledge has been gained over the last couple of years. So that's the equipment. Then we have to move on to encoding. And encoding is simply that on the computer, it's going to take the signal coming from this camera, and it's going to turn it into zeros and ones that can be consumed by somebody that hits play on a player on your website. The biggest thing for encoding is you have to have an internet connection, a minimum of 2 to 4 megabytes up speed. Most of the time, when you hear the advertisements from your companies, they are only quoting the download speed. So they quote, you know, like if you have high-speed internet, like 20 megabytes is what they'll say, that's the download speed. You have to go read the fine print to find the upload speed. Or we can go to speedtest.net. Megabits per second, MBPS. Or you can just go to speedtest.net. Oh, I'm not on the internet. That's not good. Helps if you plug it in. They told me it'd be best if I was hardwired. I don't know where I get hardwired at. Well, then let's just go. We'll go wireless then. No, that's actually an HDMI in. So this is speedtest.net. And so literally you hit begin test, and it sends a bunch of packets up, and we'll find out how good. Whoa! We couldn't live stream from this room for a second. And I'll tell you why that is. It's because, A, we're on the wireless, and I'm fighting with every single one of you. Okay, and you can see now it's setting up, and I'm getting 9. And this is the download speed. We're not even to the upload speed yet.
good news is I just found the cable for me to direct wire in.
I got on early, and to give you a comparison, I was at 22.
Ah, okay, and so now this is the upload speed. If I don't get more internet, I'm going to be in trouble in a minute. Oh, well. I'll worry about that later. Okay.
So your upload speed looked like it had a 16.
Yeah, well, it's probably because y'all are all downloading right now. Y'all are not uploading. When I'm hardwired here, they have some smooth internet here at the seminary. When I'm hardwired, I can get 100 up and 100 down. At least that's what I'm getting over in the room I'm staying in. Because I was testing that this morning because I'm like, ooh, I can show them this. That's cool. Now, I will say, this is the minimum. And most of y'all are going to have that much if you have high speed at the church. And it is best to do this wired, not wireless. Not only do you get faster speeds when you're wired, number two, internet, as you know, if you're in a bad place and the wireless is sketchy and all that, takes all of that out of play. So you want to test that. Now the other thing is the full speed specs, because this is where it gets crazy. You need that for every stream you put up. So a lot of times we send two streams up. We send a backup stream just in case something happens. And so you would need 8 megabits if you were sending both of them. But I'm going to show you how to not send both of them so you can get started, really. This is the down and dirty. So that we're only sending one stream. And then the higher quality you want to send, the more bandwidth. So this is just a warning to say, this is the minimum to get started, and it can go up. If you really want to be safe, 10 is a good number to hope you have, and you won't run into any problems. But like I said, this will be in the document. You can go read through all the specifics, and if that doesn't, and trust me, if it doesn't make sense, send me an email, because it is, we're not, the reason I don't have it up there is it's quite fun to do. Okay, so we're going to use an encoding service. And maybe y'all watched a live stream before and you've seen something on livestream.tv or something like that. Well, YouTube has quietly rolled out what they call YouTube Live. And it's not available to everybody. It is available to two types of people. It's available to YouTube channels that are what they call verified and they have a lot of subscribers. It's also verified. It's also available to YouTube members or Google members of their nonprofit program. And it's 100% free. Give you a comparison, Livestream has a plan that starts at $50 a month and isn't enough to, if you were going to live stream 4 services a month for an hour, it's not enough. You would need at least their $100 to $200 a month plan. Live streaming is actually expensive except for YouTube Live. So basically, YouTube has rolled this out to their select partners and nonprofits because it's kind of a public beta. Public beta. So it's not available to everybody. So YouTube is getting ready to really disrupt the live stream world, because either you have to use somebody like livestream.tv or Ustream, if you've heard of those, or there's even one called Sunday Streams or something like that that is geared strictly for churches, but it's still $50 a month. So I'm a big fan of YouTube, and there's another reason I'm a big fan of YouTube, and so that's what I'm going to show y'all specifically on this. And there's one link I forgot. Sherry, make a note of this to put this in before I send it out. I need to give you the link to the nonprofit sign-up if you're not already a nonprofit. And if you want to learn even more about that, in the Google Dash tomorrow, basically what Randall and Colin are going to be covering, it's all afternoon tomorrow, is every other thing that you can get as a nonprofit Google member, from email to all kinds of stuff. And they'll be going into that in depth. We're just going to talk about YouTube Live today. So it's free for nonprofits. And then here's where I think it's the best thing in the world when it comes to archiving. Like if you use Livestream or anything like that, you have to download it, then upload it to your website or something like that. As soon as we are finished with the broadcast, the same link that you used on YouTube is the link forever and ever as the archive link. And so it's on YouTube. We can embed it into our website. We can do 100 things with it. You can do even basic editing. So if you wanted to come in and just pull the sermon out or something like that, you can do that within YouTube. So once again, this is the down and dirty way to do that. So
So this, so encoding is all about, it has to be transferred from the camera to zeros and ones and get it ready for somebody to hit play and watch it. So we've talked equipment, we've talked encoding. Let's talk about actually broadcasting. So, and I'm going to walk y'all through this in just a second, so this will make more sense. We're going to create a new event on YouTube's thing. We'll set the ingesting settings. I'll explain that in a second. And we'll download and install Wirecast. Wirecast is the technically, making it simple, I just said YouTube Live, but now I realize Wirecast is technically the encoder. YouTube Live is technically the broadcaster, but I'm kind of, just think about them as the same thing. And they work together. And then we will send the signal from our Wirecast software into the YouTube Live, and then we'll see it, and then YouTube, we click Live, and we're live to the world. So what we're going to do is I'm going to come back out, and I'm going to show you that process. So here we're at YouTube, and I'm logged in. If you see these little dancing people, remember I said I do stuff for the bishop in Dallas. I'm logged in as the synod right now. We're going to use their account and do a little test. So I'm logged in as the Northern Texas, Northern Louisiana missionary of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Say that three times. So if we come in here, I can go to my channel. So how many of y'all have a YouTube channel? Because all this is going to look very similar, except for you're going to notice that there is something that's a little bit different here in a second. This is what I hate. Can't find anything. Because what happens is my screen normally is very wide, and then when I put it up here, it goes small, and now I can't find anything. I know we can get there this way. Oh, there we go. Okay, so when you get into your video manager, which is kind of the back end, once you've been approved as a nonprofit, we'll see something that pops up called live events. Ignore that for now. We'll go in and I'll show you. So remember those instructions? I said you'll create a new event. So we just click new event. And so, hey, we're going to say worship Sunday. So we click, when is that? 8 o'clock, I mean, June 8th. Say 10 a.m., that works. And then we just create the event. And there's more stuff you can do once y'all are, you know, down and dirty. We're not going to worry about the more stuff. Y'all can learn that later. We're just going to, how do we get up that? Then there's going to be something that asks you for this ingestion, basic ingestion. And that's like, ooh, scary. So we're going to ignore that for now. And we're going to go back to the test event that I made, and we're going to do it over there. So I made a test event. Okay, so this is what it looks like if you were to go to the YouTube channel right now. That's an address right there. And because it's an address, you can embed this to your website just like you would a Google video or any other YouTube video, excuse me. That will be the address there. You could hand that to people. They could go directly, or you could embed it into your website on your thing, and then right there we have worship, and they would hit play. Right now it says please stand by because we're not broadcasting. So let's go to the back end and show you how would we actually start broadcasting. Okay, so we go back. So the first thing is we do, we create a stream, and then we have to put in the ingestion settings. Guess what? We're going to make it easy for you. For all of y'all starting, there's a big drop down there. I don't know why I'm pointing. Ignore everything on there except for the one that says 480p at the end of it. That's middle of the road. Your camera will handle it. Your bandwidth, your internet connection will handle it.
and it's good enough that it's better quality than most of the other videos on YouTube. And as you grow and get more cameras and things, you can learn what the rest of them are. And so then you have to use this program called Wirecast for YouTube. And I've already downloaded it. It's a free program. They do have other versions that are not free, but there's a link right there. That link, that if it says Mac right there, or Windows, depending on your machine, if you click on that, it'll take you to this, and you'll download it, and you can see there's even some pro versions. I'll just tell you the quick differences between this. The free version only supports one camera. We're down and dirty, so we're only doing one camera. These other versions will support multiple cameras where, you know, just like the TV studios or the news or whatnot, they switch from a left angle to a right angle and some things like that. And it'll also support some other things like if you use a projector in your services and you want to put the slides in real easily. I mean, with one camera, you kind of got to put the camera on the projector up there. With some of these paid packages, you can bring the projector in as a shot. So you can put it up on the screen just like, you know, they do. And you can even put it in the corner like they do on the news and stuff. So you could have, you know, say preacher right here in the center with right over here is the sermon outline or something of slides. That's the paid versions. But right now we're down and dirty.
So in the studio version, there's a way to edit your live stream so you can have your multiple cameras showing in different places on your screen?
Remember when I told you, basically, that the church, King of Glory, where we got started for $500 because this was before YouTube started doing all this. And so the pro version that's not associated with YouTube is $500. That was the only expense we paid. We found two cameras around the church who hooked into the soundboard, and we started. And since we had two cameras, we wanted to do that. So we bought the software, We bought the $500 software, and so we used those. We put shots. They, with one of the services, they use the projector for all the music and everything, so we can bring in those slides as just shots. And sometimes we make it full screen, sometimes it's upper corner, and things like that. And so we got started for $500, but we could have got started for zero because there was already a camera at the church and everything that we needed. But we decided we wanted to have more options. Yes, ma'am.
So this is only accessible for if you have a YouTube account and you're a nonprofit, or for anybody?
It is right now, if you're a nonprofit, yes. If you're not a nonprofit, there's more qualifications to get accepted. You have to be what's called an authorized YouTube broadcaster. And typically, the easiest way to get that is you have 1,000 subscribers to your channel. And so, in other words, to their big YouTube stars, they are making this available to I think I have 3 subscribers to my YouTube channel, but I maybe upload something once a year. So, and I'll make sure to include that link because literally all it is you just have to send them basically your paperwork that says, are you with a nonprofit first? If you're with a nonprofit, basically you just have to send YouTube or Google, because they own YouTube, you send them your 501(c) certification, and it takes about 3 weeks to process, 4 weeks sometimes, and then they will put you in the nonprofit program. You look like you have a question.
Well, this question is, does my diocese have, I know our church doesn't have a 501(c)(3), because the churches don't need to get that in order to qualify, but that's my question for myself, not so much.
Yeah. Usually you're either, because the same thing,
we have a tax exempt number.
Exactly, well, that's enough usually, and then I know for us, we're umbrellaed through our national church, 501(c).
Nice.
And so that was how we did it. Yeah. Well, I would say, no, the free version is almost pretty equivalent. The pro version just gives you some stuff that it gives you better options, and even in Ustream, you have to pay to get some of these options more than their basic rates. So I would say that the free version is very much equivalent to Ustream. The big difference here is this just gives you what I call production power. If you think about...
if you think about, hey, I'm sitting here and I got, you know, I got three cameras coming at me. I can switch to this camera, switch to that camera. We can put stuff up. You can put little bars down at the bottom like, hey, it's Father John talking about, you know, John 3:16 or whatever, you know, like, they call that a Kermagee or something like that.
Lower third.
Thank you. Lower third's the easy way to say it. You can put that up, and that's kind of included in these more paid packages, and whereas you're not able to do that. Yes, sir.
There's a very functional use for multi-camera. You can do weddings without having videographers and photographers on your foot.
Amen.
You can do that at joystick, operated series of cameras on a switcher like this.
You're switching ahead of me on that, but...
It's also an alternative revenue source for your church.
So we download and install the Wirecast, which, hey, guess what, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I just happen to have already on my machine. So, feedback. Right now, it's using my webcam, so that's why, woo, hi. And this is not broadcasting anything. This is just the Wirecast software that gets it ready. So we're going to come in and, this is a FireWire cable. And this camera, like I said, has a FireWire out. And well, I have to go add the source first. Oh, the other thing is it'll let you do wires, web streams inside of it, which is important if you have series cameras or usually network cameras. Anyways, that's an advanced feature. I'm going to be quiet now. Now, I just added this as a source. Oh, I thought I added it as a source.
It showed it.
I know.
It was on.
Nope, that's not what I want to do. Remote desktop presenter is what they call the service that allows you to put slides in. So it's running on a second computer that's doing the slideshow, and then it inserts it in through the presenter is what they call that. And I keep hitting the wrong button. Hey, look. Someone's tweeting back there. Well, you know, there's one way that, when it's not doing what you want it to do in Wirecast, it's just like any other computer thing. Shut it down and open it back up. I will tell you, Wirecast recognizes new cameras much better when you open it with the camera plugged in and turned on. And, but Wirecast is, there we go, it's quitting all the way. Okay, so let's try Wirecast again. No, we don't need to run a tutorial. Okay, so let's see if it recognizes this camera. It'll let me pick the audio off of this camera. That's weird. It's not showing this camera as a source for video. It's showing it as a source for audio. That's annoying. There we go. That's what I need to do. Okay. So, we see that we're now using the camera. FireWire enabled.
Let's see who all starts moving. Okay. See, they went to, I should have skipped out on worship and I would have had this part done. I'm sorry. Any questions while I'm sitting here arguing with it?
Are you at all concerned about once you live stream them and you videotape or you put them up on your website, are you concerned about like children under 5 being in those videos that have like permission?
Well, I will say that I am not a lawyer, but I can tell you what we do at our church. that is a very good question. When it comes to some time, like congregation members, we broadcast that, it's a public space, so we can videotape all day long, technically, legally, but we let everybody know, they know that. But we don't zoom in on anybody in particular except for leaders. So if you're a leader, and that's lay and clergy alike, so if you're reading or hell assisting with the Eucharist or anything like that, yeah, we're going to show your face. Any other time, we might show backs of heads as people going forward to get receive communion and things like that. We do have a children's moment. We never really zoom in. We keep it really wide during that time. And that was how we, because there was a discussion about this. So what I would say is ultimately you need to have a discussion with your people, your governing board, and come up with how you're going to do that within, taking into consideration whatever the laws are, which really, since it's a public space, you're pretty free to do that. But we want to be safe. And you really do need to announce that we are doing this and, that it's on the bulletin and stuff, because there are some people that have privacy concerns. And maybe they want to sit in the back away from the camera and then they won't worry that they're on. But that's how we chose to deal with it. So I would have those conversations and come up with a policy that works best. Yes, sir?
I'm Joe. Sorry I'm late, by the way.
Oh, welcome.
Baptist Church. One of the things that we do at our church as it relates to children, we have all the children involved in our children's program. Their parents sign a form, a release form, that allows us to videotape them. And even when we videotape them, we still go back and ask for permission before, this Sunday coming up is Children's Day, and so the children basically bring the sermon. So before we put those out on our podcast and things of that nature, we'll ask the parents, is it okay for us to put this up again, even though we already have a signed sort of release for that. And some parents actually say no.
I think that's a very good way to handle it, because at the end of the day, I think we want to give people the control over their information, their personas, and to say yes or no.
I have one other question.
Sure, go ahead.
That is copyright laws. Are you?
That's my last slide. We're going to continue. Okay, so I was, for some reason, I'm not logged into YouTube right now, so I can't put it out, because I was going to put it live and have y'all click a link and see yourselves. We'll see if we can get that done by the time we get there, but we'll cover the rest of the information, do Q&A, and I'll figure that out. Because I was going to say, hey, y'all can all go to this link, but it's not live right now because I couldn't log into YouTube. But we'll move on and we'll come back. So just equipment and setup, and I'm going to come back to your question about copyright. So far, equipment and setup, any questions thus far? Yes.
What do you do if you're working in a small space and you don't have a soundboard?
That's a very good question. Most of the cameras have that. I will tell you. Y'all don't do any amplification on Sundays?
We do, but we're starting a small Taizé service that we want to. So it'll be music and speaking.
Well, you could do. You have an option there. I will tell you, your viewers are going to forgive video stuff. They will not forgive sound. And if they can't hear, they're gone.
And if it's important for y'all to videotape that, I would say you still mic everybody. You just don't put them over the system in the space. And then you can come off that soundboard still. So in other words, you're just not amplifying anybody local.
There's no soundboard in the space where it's going
to... I'm saying you're going to have to bring something in. And you're going to have to set up, you know, either a small sound system of some sort, and just don't broadcast it locally, and then you're going to have to mic everybody so that you can broadcast it over. Did you have a question?
Yeah, just to follow up on that, do you have a recommended small sound system that you would suggest? I mean, it's kind of a similar, like, I need to do something, I'm not sure, in a space that I'm not sure that there is a sound system there now.
Yeah.
Good
questions, all the way beyond down and dirty. Well, I mean, okay, because you would have a couple, I mean, you do have a couple options. And I know they exist. I can't give you good links right now because I didn't do that research. One of them is, I mean, there are banks of microphones that are made just to come into video, so it's not a full CC. Because really, if you would like how they do it with the news and everything, they're not running their microphones through the sound system. I'm just trying to give you all a piggyback way of something you would already have. So you could get something that's just a bank of microphones that's running straight into your camera feed.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, and those exist. I can't make a recommendation, unfortunately. Or if you have a portable sound system of any sort that you would use in space, it's going to have auxiliary out, and it would still work with kind of my method. If you know, you like, PV makes one, that like literally the speakers come to the sides of the amp in the center, and you can carry it around. I think it's ugly, but it works.
Yes. It has a generic source guitar center, as both USB-based ones and other.
Yeah, well, that's true. Instead of miking everybody, you could get some USB mics that they use for podcasts and stuff and put them in the center of the room. But you'll have to play with that because, like I said, they'll forget. It's funny with video. They'll forgive the video, but they will not forgive the sound. The sound is more important than video. And because I mean, if they can't make out what's going on, can't hear the music, then they're out of there. Any other questions about kind of equipment and setup? Yay. So let's talk about some tips. And this is where, this is kind of some lessons learned that we've learned over the last couple years doing this. Have a soft launch. And what I mean by that is, we went a whole 6 weeks and never told anybody we were live streaming anything. We did it during Lent. At Team of Glory, they add a special Wednesday night service during Lent. And so we weren't even doing it on Sunday morning because we hadn't figured out how we wanted to place things, et cetera, et cetera. So we're kind of doing it at a non-traditional time. And this was just so our team could launch, could learn. The second tip I would say is allow for screw-ups. In other words, have the soft launch because you're going to screw up. You're going to lose sound in the middle of a session. You're going to lose a camera in the middle of a session. Wirecast will crash on you in the middle of a session. You know, and really how you learn to plan ahead for all the contingencies, because I can't give you the list. I mean, I'm giving you the down and dirty, the simple way to get started, but there really are a lot of little bitty things that can cause problems here and there, and it's through your screw-ups that you'll learn that. And if you do your screw-ups whenever, I mean, basically the staff knew this was going on, and they told a couple people here and there. And I mean, so we did actually have people watching so we could get some feedback, but it wasn't being broadcast. It wasn't an expectation. And then the pastor liked it so much that we were thinking we was going to start on Sunday morning the next fall. We did kind of a second launch right after Easter. We did not live stream Easter, thank God. We weren't ready for that yet. But right after Easter, they said, well, let's go ahead and let's keep doing it on Sunday morning the way we're doing it. And it was totally word of mouth that we were live streaming. So our audiences were growing. We're still getting that. And it was the next fall, though, that we finally started announcing, hey, promoting it on the website, promoting it. So, but a couple fun things about that is there was a group from the church that had moved over for a job to somewhere in Asia, either Japan or maybe Korea, South Korea, I can't remember. But they were attending worship back at their home church now. And, you know, some very fun things like that. And that was happening during that kind of soft launch period. So it is when I say you can start this Sunday, you can start this Sunday, but please start this way. Don't be telling the world, because then you're going to get 100 messages. It went down, because remember, we're going to screw up. And then the other thing is that it's important that you create a team. I worked really closely kind of with the communication, or the AV person at King of Glory. And during this whole soft launch, I was there almost every week. Now I'm just a substitute that fills in, just like any other thing. So just like, you know, because sometimes we're bad about the new stuff. We get like one person with it, just like we do with anything else. You have a team of ushers. You have a team of probably people that are already running the soundboard. You need to get a team that's trained on this, that they can come in and they can do it. And, if, and especially the time to build that team is while we're in our soft launch and we're not, you know, not everybody, we basically, we're in our soft launch, which means it's okay to screw up and it's expected. And then you will have two options, because I'd say YouTube. You will have that YouTube link. And but hey, we want the world to know when we're ready to go. So it's important that we start embedding these on our website every week, which means if you don't have a website that you can manage, or you don't know how to do, see me after this presentation. We'll do that. And then we want to promote. We want to do that not just so our people know it, but also so that we're taking care of some of your concerns about people wanting to know that we are videotaping, et cetera, et cetera. And it gets people excited when we're doing new things like this. And now we can start talking to our people that are gathered that we, you know, we're providing for possibly shut-ins, sick. My niece just loves it. She's 3 years old, too. But she loves it whenever she's not feeling well and she gets to do home church. And home church is when either my sister or my mother, her grandma, mainly Nana, turns it on the big TV in the house. And but even more fun when she does home church, if y'all have seen the little communion kit you can get for kids, that's like plush stuff.
Yeah,
she has that. And so then she gets to preside with our pastor during home church. As well, so those are the things with just our community that this is very important with. But then also now we have a non-geographical presence, and that we can spread that message out. So that's why the promote. The other thing is, this other tip, and this takes some practice, you will have to train your leaders that not 100% of the time, but if you are doing it every week, just like you welcome the people in front of you, there needs, let's say that's my camera, there needs to be a welcome to, and we welcome you who are joining us online this Sunday. And this was something that we had to really train everybody for. And when we're doing it, we're looking at that camera. You know, we're not just looking around the room. We're looking at that camera. So that there's, and that there's certain times during the service and during our typical liturgy and in that ordo that we've talked with our leadership and that they're going to look at the, you know, just kind of like, hey, we're going to do this prayer like this or we're going to face this way. Now we need to add a new rubric. Yes, sir.
Cleaning staff and maintenance people have found that faces or names on equipment, people treat them better. So if you have a camera, if you put a picture of somebody above it, you're talking to that person.
I like that idea. Sherry, write that down. Thank you. That is a very good idea. But and also with that, sometimes you might even have to reconsider where people stand for certain things, depending on where you put the camera and if you can get the angle. When you get lots of cameras, it's easy. But when you only have one, sometimes, okay, we really kind of want you to do the welcome and the invocation right here. You know, or at least let's do it in the same place every Sunday. Let's not over here, then over here. Or, and when we got multiple cameras, it became easier. But it's just that now we're going to have to add a few more rubrics is the way to look at it. And so those are some of the tips. But then, oh, there's even more tips. Oh, hospitality. This is the thing that I think is most overlooked right now by a lot of churches. There are some churches doing it well. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're not on your next slide yet.
Sorry, thank you.
That's all right. But I thought.
Oops.
I think that was an important slide.
There it is. Okay. there are some people doing this well. But they're not everybody's doing it. How, you know, I mean, hey, it's hard enough when we come in and there's two books or one book or whatever, and we start printing the whole thing, but we can at least upload that print to your website that's right there so they can see the Wordo. Some churches are doing that, some are not. And then my big thing is you have greeters on Sunday morning and you have other hospitality things. You need an online worship leader, so to speak, or a team of them that are in the room on a computer, so they're not running the camera. But we'll talk a minute about chat box. But they're chatting with those people and drawing them in. Really, I should have had chat box and then your ideas. We'll go to chat box in a second. Let's talk more about this team. This team is, you know, hey, we have a lot of call and response in our liturgies. So the peace of the Lord be with you. And also with you. And then, oh, the peace be with you. They're typing to everybody, and they're that way. So, I mean, our worship has always been characterized by it is not one way. And we shouldn't just go to, hey, we put it online, come watch TV worship. So just like you have greeters or just like you would have any other worship volunteer, let's train a team up. And then, we're doing prayers of the people. Let's let them, especially if you're a church that does, anybody can popcorn in with something. Let's make sure they're doing it. Let's give that person a microphone or whatever that can popcorn in from online to the community, and we're seeing crop. So these help make a hybrid of physically in there and virtually participating. And you had something.
I was going to say we can borrow from sports and do play-by-play, and this way you can do an instructed Eucharist. There the thing is happening. You can have side commentary that says this is where that came from, this is what this means, this is why this might be important to you.
Exactly. Yes, sir?
I have a question about how this actually plays out in worship and in a more traditional church. So if you have a church where people are still warming up to the idea of technology being important in worship, and then you have people sitting there on computers, how have you had to navigate that? Because I'm sure that's probably...
Yeah, I will tell you, if you have a big worship space, that's easier. How we got around it is, we have a balcony with the choir, and that's where all the tech stuff is, and probably half the people downstairs don't know. So I don't know that I have a good answer for you, especially if you're in a small space. I know Sherry's church, they have a whole kind of room that's walled off in glass and stuff, and you can see them. Tell us a little bit about that room. So, well, I mean, I know you can't really hear them typing, but everybody gets to see them on the way in and out, and that's...
You can see them. It's so cool if you're sick, you can't get to church, or you're traveling, and if I wanted to be there yesterday, but I'm here, live streaming is the best.
Well, I mean, to me, when you're working with people that are, well, first, thank you, Sherry, for telling us about that, but back to your point, like, I always kind of start, where is the technology they're comfortable with? The congregation I grew up in, we had a tape ministry back in the day, that we were always recording, and somebody's making tons of copies to give out. So if there is something that they're already kind of comfortable with, and now we just say, this is a new way that we're delivering that tape ministry, if you will, but also it allows for us to interact directly with that person. Let's say my 73-year-old grandma's on her iPad, and she has a prayer request. So she's not only, which recently she did break her hip, so she wasn't watching on stream online church because her church didn't do it, and she didn't want me to teach her how, but that's another story. But let's say it was something like that. Now we're still staying connected to them, and not only is it's not one way, it's two way. So we're enabling that two way connection. So I would look for what's the analogy somewhere that they're comfortable with the technology, and now this is the new manifestation of it, and it allows for. That's how I try to convince. Now there's no guarantee other than putting them upstairs. Yes.
So does the YouTube Wirecast have the capacity for interactive chat, or are you doing that in a separate
Yeah, place? Well, that's, okay, that's kind of what I was going to talk about. YouTube has it in the side of the YouTube, but okay. When you embed it on your website, what you need to do, they don't have that. So you lose it. But there's apps that we can put in plugins. Hey, if you're at my workshop tomorrow about plugins for WordPress websites, a little plug for that. There's plugins that we can do to put that in there. Sunday, the live stream Sunday thing, though, actually you can embed. That one costs money, though. And I'll put, Sherry, make a note that I give them the link to live stream. Like I said, she keeps me from forgetting things. Well, this is how I actually get the information to you. That I give y'all, I'll go ahead and give you the link to Sunday streams because you can embed their chat box with.
Well, let me just show it to you real fast. Because, like I said, the church that I've been working with, King of Glory, we started before YouTube released this beta. So I do all the YouTube work with the bishop's office. And then they're still on Sunday streams. So you can see. This is a paid service, though, that's hosting the live stream, which, of course, we're not live right now. And then there's the chat box right here. But there are some plugins that we can put the chat box onto your website next to the YouTube embed. But it's just more steps and more whatever. But on your YouTube page, this chat box does exist while it's live. Because it'll be live on your website if you embed it live on YouTube page as well.
And the chat box is moderated, so just in case somebody goes off the ranch and...
On YouTube, you have settings to YouTube. It kind of starts out way Wild Wild West, and then you can bring it in as you see fit. This one, I really can't speak to how it's. I know there's moderation, but I don't. Well, I know you can basically kick somebody out, but I've never. I participated in this chat, but I've never moderated this chat, so I don't know how the back end works. But on YouTube, I do. Yes.
Okay, so I tweeted.
YouTube is really made for meetings. Hangouts are really made for meetings. Hangouts are going to be phenomenal someday, but I don't think they're as easy to deal with as this.
This seems more controlled.
Yeah. Well, the Hangout, because...
like everybody has to have Google with the Hangout.
The thing is, she's saying, well, what... Your responder said, you can take the Hangout to your YouTube channel. And I'll just tell you that, and then you would put the YouTube channel out as what everybody broadcasts for. I know some people that are doing it. I just don't like it. And I haven't found it to be as intuitive as the process I went through. This is free as well. Because with the Hangouts... they're really designed to use your webcam, and so when you start wanting to use other cameras and other stuff and other microphones, it's possible, it's just more work. Whereas this is assuming you're bringing your own cameras and, you know, there's all that. And then the controls that you get in Wirecast, you have none of that in Hangouts. But Hangouts was originally designed to be like how you could have a meeting. And so, it's actually really good if there's three or four of y'all on your webcams. It'll show you all your pictures. Somebody can share their screen. Y'all can all be looking at the screen. That was what it was originally designed for. And then this is be taking it to a different purpose. So, if you want to play with it, it's not going to hurt, but I think this is easier.
We do, in the yearly meeting, we do not Google Hangouts, but we use GoToMeeting, like a paid service. And what we found is we use that same kind of thing. We would never do it live, but we record the conversation and then later we can post it. And so if there's things in there like the cameras didn't work or we couldn't hear this or whatever, it's great for people to share later in a chat that happened that they couldn't be a part of. But I don't think we'd ever do it live because it's too wonky. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do it directly.
It's just let's get back to PowerPoint. And especially if you want multiple sources and everything, you don't have control over which one. Google Hangouts auto selects for you. So with Hangouts, you're either going to always have one source, or when you start going to multiple sources, it chooses for you, which may or may not be a good thing, whereas Wirecast will let you choose. In the chat box, which we kind of talked about, welcome the online guest listeners. Well, yeah, we talked about all that. Prayer, bringing it in. So it brings me to the last thing, which is some of you, back to your thing. I'm not an attorney. You do need permission specifically to broadcast the music more than anything.
And depending on what liturgical word you use, probably the stuff that's coming from our traditional books, not a problem, but if you want to go off script and pull in something from, you might need even extra permissions there. CCL, which most of your congregations are probably using in some way or format just for the music they're using on Sunday, has a license specifically for streaming that you can check out. I have no clue how much it costs, and it still doesn't cover 100% of it, of the music. And I know we run into this, I'll get to you just a second, we run into this a little bit, like I do this, I work, the ELCA has a huge youth gathering every 3 years, and I work social media for it, and I'll be there next month, but we also live stream the whole thing. And the first year we live streamed it, we couldn't get some licensing, and you know, it's big, live streaming on the level we haven't even talked about here, and all of a sudden they were having to go black and put a thing on there because we couldn't acquire licenses, mm-hmm. and they weren't going to change it in the dome, because I mean, you know, it's 30,000 people, they basically say, this is what we're doing, and y'all can broadcast it if you want to. And so we were having to go black, and it confused everybody because we just didn't have the licensing. So you really do need permission to use this stuff. I know that, luckily I've always had other people who dealt with this side of it, so I'm not a good resource, but please check into it. And yes, sir?
We do use this. It's based on the size of your church. I think we spend between $100 and $200 a year on this. We also have a similar line of license for movies, which is helpful because then you can use excerpts and clips.
And so... But yeah, the other thing that I will tell you, and then we'll open it up to general Q&A, this will be going out to you, but everything I've kind of covered about using YouTube, here's their guide, so you'll have a link specifically to their guide to take you through that when I send it to you. Then I put that slide in twice. We have a booth downstairs, and it's very important that you stop by and say hi, because you can enter for a chance to win. The Sacred Heart of Apple. We have decals for your computer.
Oh my gosh.
That's what we need to put over the top of our camera.
Yeah. Well, actually, we could put the lens right there in the center. You're looking right into that. But yeah, and we're going to be giving away a couple of these every day. So if you rush down there today, you'll be in for all 3 days. We'll give a couple of these away so you can decorate your computer like my computer right there. And and then that's all my contact info. So I'm sorry that I couldn't get that. Oh, sure. Oops. We'll put it back.
That is so weird. The talk of Jesus.
Yeah. There we go. So we have brought about 10 of those with us, and we'll give away 2 or 3 a day. So if you go register at our booth, we'll give you one. You can potentially win one. But everybody got pictures of it? Sorry I didn't get the live stream to work, because I literally was going to live stream all of y'all for like 2 minutes. But that didn't happen, unfortunately. So that's my contact info. We have about 5 minutes left, so we'll just do Q&A, or we're done, or whatever y'all want to.
I have a question that's kind of for you and kind of for the group, because I'm interested in live streaming, not just worship. Mm-hmm. Is this still the same kind of, there was some conversation about this with the Google broadcast, Google Hangouts, and I'm just wondering about if you're starting with something other than worship, should you still start with the YouTube? Should you start with another service?
Depends on two things. And I'll get y'all's feedback. I mean, in my business, I use GoToMeeting all the time. So if I really want interaction, I'm not going to do this, because you can do the chat interaction, but if you want screen share and all that kind of stuff, that's there. And that's like with the live streaming they're doing here, they're using they're using Adobe Connect. Which Adobe Connect is like full-on classroom type stuff and can really do, because Adobe Connect would allow you to do, okay, so say you're teaching right now and you want to say, okay, everybody break into small groups of 5 and discuss whatever. They can break into small groups on the Adobe Connect and do that. So what I just gave you is if it's a big gathering that you want to broadcast with a minimal amount of interaction, which, you know, on Sunday morning, you know, during worship, we have a minimal amount of interaction, then what we just covered is perfect. If it's more of a meeting setting, GoToMeeting or Cisco WebEx is really good. Or if you want to do more of an educational type thing where it's still kind of a little bit more front focused, but there's opportunities to do different things, then the Adobe Connect is phenomenal, but it's expensive. But I can't remember her name, but she was here last year because I went to one of her workshops on Adobe Connect. She said, yes, she said with Adobe Connect, there is, you can get kind of a master license. So if you get like three or four congregations or dioceses together, and then it becomes much cheaper for, because they're looking at it as like, you know, one huge organization and different offices using it is how they're licensing it. So there's, if you go in together, you can get that cheaper. I will say I've never used Adobe Connect because it's too expensive. I've just heard about how cool it is. With all my clients that are not in Dallas, we do all of our meetings over GoToMeeting, and we do screen shares. So when we're looking at new mock-up, like actually we had a meeting yesterday with somebody back in Dallas from here, and we did it over GoToMeeting. And then when I want to broadcast kind of just a big group with limited interaction, we do live streaming.
Excellent.
And then anybody else, though, that's my opinion. Take that and $1.95 and you find yourself Starbucks. $3.95. Any other questions, comments?
The camera that you connected to your computer, is that like what you would recommend for those of us who are seeking something a little bit more mobile?
Yeah, I mean, this is just, to me, any of the cameras that really have come out, you know, in the last 20 years, you know, basically if it's not VHS, and the key thing is that it has either HDMI or FireWire out, and then, you know, you can get it into your computer. It's good enough, because what we're broadcasting, you know, it doesn't need to be HD or anything like that, because we ain't broadcasting in HD, and it takes too much bandwidth, number one. So, you know, standard definition, even though this happens to be an HD camera, I still don't broadcast it in HD. So most of them are really good. I wouldn't spend much money on it, because, like I said, with the church that I did, once we kind of got into it and we started with two cameras that we found at the church, two tripods that we found at the church, we spent just that money. We did start growing it to where now there's five cameras mounted. And this room doesn't have one, but some of these classrooms, you look at them, they have mounted camera little bubble things and they can be run by remote control. And so we have a little joystick thing and you can make shots from all these different cameras and then we can click which camera we want to go live and then we can add all that. And those cameras, all of a sudden, you're starting to spend anywhere from $800 to $2,000 a camera, and then you got to network them together. So I wouldn't spend too much money initially, because you're going to want to grow this ministry. And, yes? But this is the one so they can contact me.
But what we really want is to contact Jesus. Right.
Yes.
Yes. Woo-hoo. See Sherry if you want your opportunity for a Jesus sticker, because she's going to record you and we'll put you on Faith Growth website. Yes, ma'am.
Do you put a PayPal donation button? Only during your offering, or do you do it throughout the entire time, or did nobody ever think about that?
That's a very good question. I will tell you, most of the time, just because of the technology limitations to have it come on and off, got to have somebody that knows how to do that. And most congregations don't have that. So I'd say put it there. But for most of you, you're going to start with it on through the whole time. When you grow up to a place, well, not grow up, that's, excuse me, when you grow the ministry to the point that you have the resources or the people that you could have it come on, I would love for it to come on. Actually, what I would love, even, okay, I want that on the website, and then the other thing that I really would love to happen is, you know, keep passing the plates, but I would also love the pastor or the leader to say, also, you can text 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 6, 7, 8 and make your donation right now. And or you know, I mean, that I would love, this is, I know I'm a little bit of a tangent, but that, you know, all of our money is about to come on this, so we have to start thinking. And I'm not saying get rid of the plates. I'm just saying we need a parallel option. So, and here's a fun stat for you, just because I love saying this on my website, people that don't take money on their websites right now. 96% of all transactions in 2014 in the United States were with anything but cash and check.
Now, I would love to know exactly what the number is of our churches that are still doing check and cash, but if you look at how much money, I mean, you know, we're consumers in this country, for Pete's sakes. 96% of those transactions were done with some type of plastic or gift card or some, or Apple Pay or something like that. 4% check and credit card. And it finally tipped that the plus 65 crowd is comfortable paying online. That tipped last year. So anyways.
Is that statistic you said you're
paying
but cash or check?
Yes. So basically 4% of all transactions in 2014 were made with cash or check. Be the other simpler way to say it.
This is a tangent, but the church needs to kind of look at something other than the offertory.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, we'll definitely save that tangent for another time. Any other questions, or we're like 3 minutes over, so I'm going to, well, first let me do this. If there's any other questions, come see me, and I want to thank you for your time, and I appreciate you being here. Look forward to getting to know you in the next 3 days. If you have any other questions, come see me after, find me at lunch or something like that, but thank you.
Thank you.
And if you want a sticker, go see Sherry and give her a rockin' video testimonial, and she'll hook you up with Jesus. Look at that, direct line to Jesus. Go see Sherry.
I want a picture.
You want a picture? Do you? Yeah.
That's better than that. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't worry. Trust me, I was taking like 6 pictures of it last night.
Will it fit over an H?